Welcome to the 74th Monkey on My Back podcast. Contact us at momcast@gmail.com and leave comments and contributions. Tonight on the pod, we talk about comics, and in Jane's spotlight, she talks about Ghost World. Momcast will exchange intelligence on other podcasts' weapons of mass destruction for sanctuary in your country. Around the mic tonight are...
Hello, I'm Jane.
I'm James Hussain.
And I'm Nick. You're James Hussain.
Yeah, I'm Sedan's podcasting brother.
Brethren.
Not really. God, please don't send American troops around my house.
A cup of tea now.
I was only joking.
What are you two up to? What have you been doing? How's it been going? What's happening?
This weekend, I was mostly at Newbury electrocuting horses.
Wow. That's very specific.
Wasn't really me. I'm only joking.
Who was electrocuting horses?
Did you hear about the electrocuted horses at Newbury?
A lot happened this week, James. I don't think I took in everything.
Two horses were walking around a paddock at Newbury Racecourse, and they collapsed, apparently, because there was like a loose connection in the earth somewhere. Mm-hmm. And apparently horses are really susceptible to electricity. I think it's bullshit. I think it was aliens. I think that's like, you know, like in Men in Black.
Oh.
You know, like in... Wow, that is, we were really not on the same page there at all, were we? That was incredible. You know, like in Men in Black, they say it was marsh gas.
Yeah.
That sounds like one of those sort of explanations, doesn't it? I think there's something sinister about the racehorse death in Newbury.
I don't know how I missed that.
No, it was on all the news.
It sounded like the absolute worst lead into a joke ever.
No, it wasn't.
Two horses walking around the paddock.
You have to do your what's black and white, red all over and stuck in a revolving door today to make it three podcasts in a row that you've done that joke.
Have I done it in two podcasts?
So you have to do it. You have to do the hat trick today.
Okay, maybe I'll sneak it in later, but no one will know because it's a secret joke.
Because I'm vain and I listen back to the podcasts to improve my performance.
I use a Viagra.
Really?
Yes.
How's that working for you? Because looking at you, it doesn't look like it's working. But that might be because you're diminutive.
I haven't... Yeah, that's why. Mm. I'm neither a grower nor a shower.
Yeah.
as it turns out.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't been taking Viagra. That's a ridiculous thing to say. Mm. Wow! I decided a bit ago that I was kind of a bit tired for my own amusement, and now I'm actually really tired. I've conned myself into being really morose.
I'm tired. I've got a stinking cold, and I was up in the middle of the night last night. It was no good. No good at all.
My wife, Amy, is not very well, and she woke up a little bit early and told me that she wasn't very well, so she wasn't going to be going into work. Yeah. But then it was an hour before I normally wake up.
Yeah.
So I never quite got back to sleep, and just not having that extra hour has exhausted me.
You feel robbed, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what I've been doing this week.
No, nor do I, actually. That's why I made up some bullshit about horses.
All right. What have you been up to, Jane?
I can't remember.
Well, thank you.
Oh, apparently I'm catching a cold.
Yeah. Apparently we've all been abducted by aliens.
Oh, yeah, I was abducted by aliens yesterday, wasn't I? No, I went to go find aliens yesterday.
Yeah. You were on the party train yesterday, James.
I was going to Winchester, and I was in a train full of satanic people.
Party train.
It was, and I got
James, the only person who doesn't know about the party train.
It was weird. I was on a carriage. Everyone in the carriage seemed to know each other. It fucking freaked me out.
My favourite thing about that conversation on Twitter yesterday was that I tried to convince James that there was a party train and get him to, like, act out to the other people on the train. And after two or three tweets I had sent at James, someone else that I talked to on Twitter who follows me asked me about the party train as if they were wondering what I was actually talking about. And I was thinking, wow, I could start a thing here, but I don't really have the stamina for that.
No.
So I didn't. No. I'm not one of those hoaxy type of people.
No.
God, I really can't remember what's been going on this week.
I had to continue completing my DIY stuff, is what I really did.
It looks really good.
I painted concrete brown.
Because it's grey normally.
It was grey. Now it's brown, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was Valentine's Day. Oh, we didn't really do anything for Valentine's Day. That's another thing we did this week. We didn't do anything for Valentine's Day.
No, we didn't do anything.
You didn't have it, so this being a Valentine's Day special isn't really going to work out then. Americans go crazy for that stuff, don't they? Valentine's Day and Halloween.
What we should do, right, is you've said it's a Valentine's Day special, and then now just don't reference it. Place your 10 at the end, and you're done.
That's one thing that happened, is a lady who I sometimes talk to on Twitter was looking for names for children's TV programmes for a thing she's doing, like fake names for children's TV programmes, and I came up with Alphanumericans.
That's very good.
And I've now decided that that's going to be a thing, Alphanumericans.
How about Pooper Romskins Crazy Hour?
Pooper Romskins Crazy Hour.
Yeah.
That sounds brilliant.
Yeah. It's a bit 60s, though, isn't it? It's a bit Rowan and Martin's Laughing, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, you're an idiot. Yeah, I can't believe you just stole that, you arse clown.
Yeah.
So none of us really know what's going on. We should just talk about comics. That's what we should do. We haven't got a schedule.
No, you really...
I think you should go first, Nick.
Yeah.
And
I should.
I think James should go second.
This is what happens when Nick tells me not to do my normal podcast duties. It all falls apart.
Look, listener,
What
happened was, I decided, because there was something funny, there was a funny viral video that went around the internet a couple of days ago that you may or may not have seen, and of someone just getting a bit confused, I thought, while they were saying something, which happens to me all the time, which is why I thought it was funny, and I was going to incorporate that into the script for this week. But then it turned out that maybe the person actually had something wrong with them, and then I felt bad. But then it turned out that they probably didn't have anything wrong with them, so then I didn't feel bad again. But then it just became too complicated.
Is this the newsreader had an attack of the nerves and started talking gibberish?
Well, she either had an attack of the nerves or a stroke. Nobody's entirely sure.
I haven't seen it yet. I've heard about it.
I read an article which said that she was checked out by paramedics afterwards, and she was absolutely fine.
But the Daily Mail reported that there probably was something wrong with her.
Yeah, she's an American lady.
James?
She's human. Human beings can mess
twitchy
up sometimes.
And things go wrong with them all the time. I know.
There is anything wrong. Just to make it clear, I was being arch, I think. I don't think there's anything wrong with American ladies.
You're such a racist.
Or human beings in general.
You're such a racist and misogynist.
I love human beings and everything they do, especially the female type.
Now you're a pervert.
Oh, fucking hell. I've dug myself into a hole. I'm not getting out of here.
That was
hug Winnie the Pooh. Solve everything.
That was... I don't think that was weird last week.
It was weird. I'm getting Winnie the Pooh.
James has Tron trainers on.
They do glow in the dark as well.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
You just did a Jane on your own comics, James.
What was that all about?
Sorry?
You just did a Jane on your own comics.
I did, I settled them. And one of them's a number one, it might be worth something.
This is something,
that's why I buy comics.
This is something that happened actually this week, is sometimes, as you know, I walk the shortcut.
Yeah.
I go down the lonely road, the only road I've ever known, which happens to be the grassy verge.
Yeah.
On my own. That's where I go.
Oh, your Maverick walk.
Yeah, I go on my Maverick walk, but it was a bit wet the other day, and the traffic was all pulled up next to me, and I was walking, and I kind of slid. I didn't actually fall over, but you know when your foot kind of goes a half metre, but further than you were expecting? I slid, but I recouped, and I got upright again, and it was all fine. But then I thought, well, it looks really like rubbish when people carry on as if they don't. The people in the cars will have seen...
Mm.
And it looks kind of rubbish when people are flustered and they carry on.
Yeah.
It makes it look worse. So I thought, I'll address it in the way I'm walking. I'll address that something ridiculous just happened and it's a little bit embarrassing, but I'm okay. So I kind of did this pantomime on my face, this little sort of embarrassment pantomime, where I kind of shrugged my shoulders and then I kind of rolled my eyes and my head. And I sort of laughed to myself and, like, shrugged again as if to say, I'm an idiot, aren't I? And then I realised, 30 seconds after I'd gone on a little bit, that it's quite possible that the people in the cars might not have seen me slide, at which point I am just, I am that person who walks along giggling and muttering to themselves while rolling their eyes.
It doesn't help that you were doing your Maverick walk either.
Yeah. And I had my cock out.
You put a lot of thoughts into that. When I slide or trip or any other embarrassment while I'm walking, I just laugh at myself automatically because I think, oh, Jane, you idiot. And people just will either laugh or not.
Well, but that's exactly what happened to me. It's I was aware of it while it was happening.
Yeah, but you've acted out a play. That was quite excessive.
This is just what it's like in my head, Jane.
Everything's just
I realised I'd done it afterwards. That was the thing. I wasn't thinking about it that hard while I was doing it. Then afterwards, I realised what my motivations were for doing it, and it was a bit weird. I got confused.
You were so close to talking about comics then.
Yeah.
I feel really sorry for listener because they're like, oh, brilliant, they're going to talk about comics. Oh, no, the recoup story, I don't believe it. And now the stupid fat ones made my ears bleed.
Standing orders.
They can't see us.
Yeah, I've got a Twitter avatar. You can clearly see
They might not be on Twitter.
Oh. Standing orders. Right, okay.
Spinning orders.
Yeah, we've only been calling them that now for 74 fucking episodes.
I'm just giving myself somewhere so that I can cut this all together and it'll be really sophisticated and fine. It'll all be okay.
We'll have violins playing in the background.
No. Oh, we should so get a chamber orchestra to play while we're doing this. If we do the thing that we said we were going to do down in town, that maybe we will do, who knows, it all seems to have got a bit quiet.
What's going
when
on.
We do it, can we have a chamber orchestra?
I think we should ask Matt Berry to do stuff, to do little inserts for us that we can play.
I was listening to his album the other day, Witch Hazel. It really is superb.
Let's talk about comics.
Reach for the ground.
That wasn't a Matt Berry. It's just so that I've got something that I can cut together afterwards. Let's do our spinning orders.
Just fucking do it.
I bought a bunch of stuff that I haven't read yet, but it's worth noting that they came out. Wolverine number 6, Wolverine and Jubilee number 2. I really liked the first one of that. That was great. Memoir number 2, which was enjoyable and worth noting because it's quite unusual and you might not be buying it. But Ben McCall and Nikki Cook from Image. It's quite a good little horror story. I'm enjoying that. Dead or Reborn, which I know you guys bought.
Yeah.
Is one of you going to talk about it?
I might briefly touch on it.
Okay. I'll talk about how much I like it then. And Generation Hope, which is always really good. But number 4. My problem with the logo is, because there's an X in the Hope, and because there's normally like something slightly obscuring the bottle on the bottom of it, I always read it as Generation Hype. Always. I can't help it.
Yeah, no, I did when you first showed it to me.
But comics I bought this week that I want to talk about. First things first, The Suicide Forest, number 3.
Oh.
I have been by Torres and Gabriel Hernandez. El Torres and Gabriel Hernandez. I've talked about every issue of this so far. It is not letting me down. This issue was properly and energetic and horrible. It's basically a Japanese horror story and about a haunted forest, the suicide forest of the title, and it is absolutely brilliant. It's really creepy, the characterization's really good, the art is just beautiful. The story is moving on a pace. I don't want to tell you not to go out and buy this issue because there's never any guarantee that these things are going to be collected. But we're 3 issues in now. If you don't happen to find it on your shelf, because not everywhere stocks loads of comics like this, make sure you buy the graphic novel. It will be worth whatever they are charging for it. And I'm going to look really stupid if they blow it all in the final few issues.
Well, I'm sure
they won't. I don't know how long it's actually going for. But it is just it's my favourite comic at the moment.
Have faith, dude.
Hmm?
Have faith.
I will. I'll keep the faith. Keep the faith.
Oh,
Lord, I gotta keep the faith. That's a song that people do. And
Bon Jovi.
The Amazing Spider-Man 654.1.
Yeah.
I got confused by this.
You don't like the point.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I'll pick up a comic. I mean, okay, I bought the last few Amazing Spider-Mans anyway, I think. But the Wolverine comic, I'll pick it up, and then the next issue's back to the normal run, and it's just a bit confusing. Like the Wolverine comic I picked up is back to the normal run, and I'm not really going to know it's midway through a story about him being possessed. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Oh, dear.
Except that I know that he's been possessed, so I probably know more than some people might. But this is really good because it is a nice little self-contained story. Do you remember Flash Thompson, James? Jane might not really remember him. Spider-Man's buddy.
Yes.
He used to bully Peter Parker at school and stuff. Well, the Amazing Spider-Man, apparently a few years ago, I'd kind of picked this up, even though I hadn't been reading the comics. He went out to... He joined the army. He sort of decided he was going to grow up, joined the army, went out to Iraq, and after being a bit of a war hero, got his legs blown off.
That's very sad.
Apparently it was quite sad. The front cover of... The Amazing Spider-Man 654.1.
It's quite
a nice picture with Venom in.
No, that's quite clearly Bane.
It isn't Bane, it's Venom.
No, it's clearly
It's
Bane.
A weird drawing of Venom because it's almost realistic style and you don't normally see him like that. So his mouth is only just a little bit larger than normal and he's like this gigantic, big, muscly thing, whereas normally he's kind of quite monstrous, but he just looks like a massive bodybuilder, like Bane.
Like Bane. I was being silly, he is clearly...
But they've been previewing this as like the introduction of a new Venom. Yeah, the new Venom is Flash Thompson.
Oh,
and it's they tell you this in the first couple of pages and in the previews that are around. I read the preview for this yesterday and was actually really really excited about it. It's written by Dan Slott, who is really good. With art by Humberto Ramos and inks by Carlos Cuevas and colours by Edgar Delgado, and all of the art is just absolutely gorgeous. But basically the deal with this is that Venom, who is normally this monstrous nightmarish alien symbiote that attacks, like takes people over, Flash Thompson, who still kind of works for the military, has been recruited to wear the Venom suit.
Okay.
And he's kind of like a spy. He's kind of like a James Bond character.
Cool.
In the Venom suit, he's got he obviously has legs, and it's just really a really interesting new thing to do with a Venom character. I really like Dan Slott, but his comics in the past for me, they've been kind of the characterization has been really fun and really snappy and stuff. I've never really thought of them as particularly original ideas-wise, but this was a direction I would never have expected them to go with Venom, and it's really good. And Humberto Ramos's art is just... The art team's work is just amazing on this. It really, really is good. I love it. And it'll be back to normal next month, or next week, whenever the next issue comes out. But hopefully we'll see more of this character. It's just a really good one-off issue. You don't need to have read any more. It's of all of... Well, no, the Wolverine one was quite a good one-off story as well, but this one's just a really nice little self-contained story. If you really like Spider-Man but haven't really been following the comics, this is well worth picking up. It's great. And I never really used to like Flash Thompson, but he's quite an interesting, sympathetic character in this one. So,
cool.
James. Or Jane. Who's next?
I'm next. I bought several comics too. I've only bought three with me, and two of them... I'm only really prepared to talk about two of them because I'm one of them. I picked up, exposed myself for the Trinity. I got excited because I saw Hellblazer 276.
Mm-hmm.
And really, to enjoy 276, I should have bought 275 because John Constantine got married, didn't he, in the last.
Was that the last? I knew. Yeah. I was reading about it the other day. I didn't realise it was that recently or that it wasn't coming up or something.
But I got all excited because I saw Simon Bisley was on art.
Ooh.
Duties. I didn't realise he'd been on it on and off for some time now. So,
do you still mainly love Simon Bisley for the stuff he did in 2000 AD in the early 90s?
Of course.
Having maybe picked up an issue of Lobo or something in the meantime and thought it was all right, but not quite a patch on his ABC Warriors and
saying, absolutely, it's nostalgia.
And how does this one measure up?
It's gorgeous. The art's fantastic. Yeah.
I was actually surprised looking over your shoulder at it because it does look amazing.
I was blown away. It's beautiful stuff.
It looks like he's developed his style as well. Because nearly everything else he's done in the meantime has felt like a phoned-in version of his old style, but this just looks amazing.
The stupid thing I've done, though, is that means I'm Hellblazer's going to find its way onto my standing order now, I think.
That's not necessarily stupid, is it?
It's not, but I really don't need to be putting new titles on there, especially when one of the things I picked up this week was Jennifer Blood number 1 from Dynamite, written by Garth Ennis, illustrated by Adriano Battista, and lettered by Rob Steen. I thought, and coloured by Romulo Fajardo Jr. I thought as we're...
Was that because I did it? No, it's just I got carried away because the names are all right there.
Well, we probably should credit everyone because it takes more than just one person. It
takes a village to raise a child.
And it takes a village to write a comic book, apparently, as well. Mm. But obviously it's Garth Ennis' name that attracted me to Jennifer Blood. It's been well trailered in all of the Dynamite books recently for some time.
I saw it on the shelf and couldn't immediately work out if it was a spin-off from The Boys, which I'm not up to date with. So I didn't bother. Is it a whole new thing?
It's entirely self-contained world he's created. I think you could probably describe it as maybe the Momisher.
The Momisher. Is she a vigilante?
She's a vigilante, but she's also, by day, she's a suburban housewife and mother, and by night, she is an avenging angel.
God, who wants to read about a suburban mother?
I know.
She should have been a high-flying businesswoman.
Absolutely.
That's what she should be.
Her voice is, or the story is told, in the form of her diary.
Mm-hmm.
So the narration is all carried out by Jennifer. And it's really interesting. She is, if you read the Bat Matter is very interesting. It's an interview with Ennis, and he talks about various things about the way DC and Marvel are going in terms of their attitude towards creator-owned titles, which is quite interesting, but also about what he wants to do with this series. And he says, excuse me, he admits The Boys is getting quite dark now, and obviously he's doing Battlefields, which is sort of quite dark, and he did The Punisher, which is quite dark. He said in this series he wants to capture some of the light-hearted nature of a story like Hitman.
Right.
Obviously, he's got a history of talking about new projects and saying it's going to be just like one of my old projects. He did the same with The Boys, didn't he? He said it was going to out-Punisher-Punisher. No.
Did he say that?
No,
that
out-Preacher-Preacher, I beg your pardon.
All right.
No, he definitely didn't say out-Punisher-Punisher. But it is she's kind of a female Punisher character.
Yeah. Mm.
Quite why she's decided to take on this secret...
That's Double Life.
We don't really know yet, do we?
That's the bit I really liked about it. There was a couple of scenes in it where I just thought, you don't know why she's doing it, but you kind of like the fact that she's doing it.
I like the way, I think the character develops really well throughout the story using this journal. I like the fact that he just drops in these subtle little clues and hints as to what her true character is.
Yeah.
And I love how bored she is with her life.
Yeah.
The last scene in particular in this book had me laughing out loud. It was really funny, wasn't it?
But
it's not.
She's bored, but she seems outwardly happy that part of her life's boring because then she has this exciting secret side. So it makes her a bit more content, I think.
Yeah. I am struggling to see the lightness in. I just flicked through it, and it's not particularly light. It's quite...
It is humorous.
But is it funny, though?
It's quite funny.
Yeah, there's a twisted humour in there, without a shadow of doubt. Her motivations at the moment as to why she's decided to go on an avenging mission, unclear at the moment, but I really enjoyed it.
Whoever knows why anyone really does anything they do, though, James? Really?
Well, that's true.
No one can know someone's motivations, least of all themselves.
That's true.
Sounds good though. I did like the look of it. It is quite graphic, which is not a bad thing. I'm not sure about the art, but then I'm so used to seeing him work with Derek Robinson
I'm not entirely dialed into the art at the moment. It's good. It's competent line work, isn't it? Which sounds less damning with faint praise.
It's competent. I mean, it's competent.
That is awful.
I have to say, darling, that was a competent lasagna you made today. That's not going to go very well.
It's okay. I think you're right. I think it's a matter of getting used to Ennis's words with that artist. But he does a good job. He just didn't blow my socks off.
But the story's really good.
The story's excellent. Mm. The words coming out of their mouths and stuff in the diary are really cool.
The words coming out of their mouths.
That would be on the back of the trade.
I love
the words coming out of the back of their mouths and stuff is excellent.
It's good. I like I like when they said stuff.
Print that on the trade, mate.
Have you got anything for the Daredevil Reborn graphic novel?
Daredevil Reborn, nowhere near as shit as Shadowlands. Oh, that really broke the positivity pack that we had, didn't it?
I'm really sorry about it. It's a bit harsh. It's fractured and all over the place.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of Shadowland. I kept my mouth shut for the most part on the podcast about how I felt about it.
Well, it's okay, though. You've undone all of that good work.
But as poor as Shadowland was, I think Daredevil Reborn is good.
I love it. I really like it. It's good. The art's amazing. Yeah. It's exactly the sort of art I like on the mainstream books.
Yeah.
And Andy Diggle's writing's really good. Yeah. It's a nice, tight sort of story. But I do like... I've got a soft spot for sort of Badlands-style stories anyway. People who go to a town. It's got sort of Wild West-y in a way, isn't it?
But the thing is, you know, I used to moan about how decompressed and boring I found Daredevil at times, previously. Mm. This is pretty decompressed. It's not dialogue heavy. It's not tons and tons of stuff happening. I mean, the pace feels just right.
Yeah, it's good. It's really four issue series, isn't it?
It's a tragedy. I wish this was ongoing.
I'd like there to be more.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's for the first time with Daredevil for a while, I'm not picking it up going, okay, well, I'll read it. I'll give it a go again this month. And I was getting like that, especially towards the end of Shadowland.
Hmm.
I'm really into Matt Murdock again. I'm really looking
forward to him.
Oh, I can't quit him.
You can't quit him.
I can't quit you, Matt.
Sweet on him.
I am sweet on
him. With your little ginger hair and your ginger beard.
Why do you two have to cheapen this?
We are...
It's a beautiful thing.
We are cheapening.
I
love
that. Yeah. No, inwardly, we're happy for you.
Good. I wasn't going to buy Daredevil Reborn, but I bought it on a whim.
A whim?
Last month, and I'm so glad I did. It's good, isn't it? Say it's good.
It's good.
You're correct.
Oh, thank you.
I give it 5.
Well done. Well done, be correct.
Out of what? Thank you, James. Just shaking my hand.
Give it 5.
Just going to give it 5?
Yeah.
Out of...
We don't
nothing.
Have... Remember, we just have our own...
Well, then why has he said that, then? That's just confused me. I don't know what's going on now.
Okay.
And we haven't got a schedule.
That's my arbitrary score.
You have to write down all of James's scores. Everything, point scoring, so how many stars, the percentage, everything, all the ones he's gone through. Then you go into a parallel universe and you use it to crack a code.
No. You go into a parallel universe, then you sit at the edge of the black hole, right? And you look into the black hole and you look at a universe that's projected from the black hole from a 3D universe into a 4D universe, and only when you see the 4D universe will you see the real scoring methodology.
Don't forget to take 3D glasses with you.
Because my scoring method is actually a four-dimensional scoring method, so I can't explain it in a three-dimensional reality.
When James is dying and I'm standing over... when he's on his deathbed...
Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to him.
Holding the pillow.
I'm going to ask him, so how was it, James? How was your life? And he's going to say...
5.
It was 5. Yeah. And then he's going to die.
Yeah.
Which will be like...
out of... that's nice.
The amount of enjoyment we get on this podcast out of the notion of James's untimely demise, I don't...
That's fair enough.
It's not going to be funny if it happens.
What we should do here, right, is leave a pause for someone to give a more erudite review of some comic books than I was capable of doing just then.
Why the big pause? Because I'm a giant dog. Or what's black and white and red and can't walk through revolving doors? A penguin. A nun with a javelin through her head.
And it's Nick for the hat trick.
A naughty bus.
It's David Wynne. He may or may not be cross.
Hello, monkeys. This is David Wynne, author of Particle Fiction, which you can read for free online at particlefiction.posterous.com. Please read it. Please read it. Please buy my books. Please give me your money so I can give up my day job. Today I wanted to talk to you about Men of Tomorrow by Gerard Jones, who you may remember as probably the best Green Lantern writer. Well, I say the best. I like his Green Lantern best. This is actually a prose book. It's a history of the founding of the American comics industry, and it's absolutely fascinating. It concentrates as much on the lives of the publishers as it does on the creators, which is unusual in such things. It makes a point quite early on in the book of saying how, unlike most industries, the history of comics has been written very much by the losers, by the people who feel that they got shafted, while the publishers have rarely said very much, and that's given us a very one-sided take on things. And actually, it's very interesting to see both sides, you know, to discover what a reprehensible human being Bob Kane was, for example, and that Batman was essentially created by Bill Finger and Jerry Robinson. It tells us a lot about Siegel and Schuster, about how they grew up. It tells us some very interesting things about Jerry Siegel's life. It concentrates quite heavily on a guy called Harry Donenfield, and to a slightly lesser extent on his partner, Jack Liebowitz, who were the guys who founded DC Comics. Well, they founded a publishing company for selling pulps. They started in distribution, got into publishing, and eventually ended up in comics. It's also a really rich social history of Jewish culture in America in the first half of the 20th century. Because we learn so much about these people's lives who were almost entirely Jewish, and about where they came from, about how they grew up, where they grew up, what those places were like, what kind of jobs they did, what they had to do for money, where their parents came from. You know, it's fascinating and really gives you a strong sense of that early 20th century America from an outsider immigrant perspective. The people are, the book is written in a very novelistic style, so the people come through as characters. And they are very colourful characters. Harry Donenfield is a fascinating man that got into bed with the mob in order to build his distribution empire. And then during the 20s, during Prohibition, became involved in racketeering. And then, you know, and his mob connections seemed to continue for a long time after that. He sounds like a real horrible person in many respects, but a very colourful, interesting, entertaining person to read about. The Siegels, Siegel and Schuster, don't necessarily get the rose-tinted treatment that they often get. There is no doubt that what happened to them wasn't fair, but they aren't painted as these straight-up martyrs that we often are used to thinking of them as. I mean, there is the very sad moment where that really hits home, where you read that the Siegel and Schuster were given a check for $130 between them and signed over all the rights to Superman, and you just think, oh my god, because within a year it was making millions for Donenfield and Liebowitz. But at the same time, you know, in the same era, Bob Kane created Batman and did very, very well. He created a character called Eagle Man that his ghostwriter Bill Finger then turned into Batman. but he did very, very well out of his deal. Will Eisner created the Spirit and didn't hand over the rights to anyone. William Moulton Marston, who created Wonder Woman. The reason Wonder Woman continues to be published, no matter what the sales are like, is because if they miss a single issue, the rights revert to Moulton Marston's estate. The Siegels were not canny in their dealings, and with Siegel and Schuster rather were not canny in their dealings with the publishing industry, and Siegel in particular was possibly rather overconfident in what he thought he knew. So it is, it's a very rounded picture of how things were. It is fascinating that it takes you takes half the book before you even get to that sad line. And it, you know, I'm two thirds of the way, and Stan Lee has only just made his first appearance. Jack Kirby has barely arrived on the scene. I'm very interested to see where it goes from here, but it's been amazing so far. I highly recommend this book. I really do. I think it's a really interesting, educational, informative read for anyone who's interested in comics on any level. You learn just so much, and it's fun. It's fun to read. It's written. It's got this lovely novelistic style. It's really. Jones is an excellent writer, and he draws you in really well. It feels like being told a story by an old man in the pub or something about where they came from, and it's great. Men of Tomorrow by Gerard Jones. I recommend it.
And now what we should do is we should talk about the Wonder Woman TV show, because Wonder Woman's been cast.
I want to know if by the end of this podcast you will literally be brimming over with phlegm and mucus.
I am. It's getting worse. I took some cold and flu tablets before we started the pod. I think they're wearing off already.
Oh, no. That's what people say on the internet.
Wonder Woman's been cast.
And it's a television show.
It's a television show.
Weren't they making a film?
And it's Adrienne Palicki has... I was just going to read straight from...
Is there a picture of her?
It's bad enough that I'm lifting stories from Bleeding Cool all the time, let alone reading their words.
I feel like I recognise
first,
her.
At first look, I think I'll have to see her dressed as Wonder Woman to know if she'll make a good Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah. Unamazingly, she's pretty.
Yeah, but she doesn't look like Wonder Woman at the moment.
No, she doesn't. She needs to dye her hair.
But her face almost. I don't know. I'll have to see her dressed up as Wonder Woman.
I have initial concerns about the premise of this show.
What is the premise for the show, James?
Apparently she's going to be a powerful go-getting executive type by day and an avenging angel in the evenings.
As I'm still learning about... Oh, sorry.
And it's going to be about how she balances the two things in her life.
But who wants to watch a programme about that? I think she should be a suburban housewife.
Because I'm getting to know Wonder Woman at the moment. Has Wonder Woman ever had, like, an alternate...
Who was... Oh, my goodness, you poor thing.
Sorry.
What was Diana Prince in the original series? Was she, like, a... What was she?
I remember her wearing a suit.
Power suit.
No, I mean, in comics, has she ever had... She's
an ambassador for... In the Greg Rucker ones I read, she was an ambassador. To the UN Paradise Island or wherever.
She only got that job because of her mum.
Yeah, that's true. She did. Yeah. There was a bit of a nepotism thing going on there, but I don't remember what she used to be. But it just seems too much. It's like I just don't understand.
From what I've seen so far, I don't want to prejudge it. It just sounds a bit corny for my liking. But you never know, it might be great.
Like TV by committee.
Yes.
That ain't no good.
That's correct.
I think we're covering really well for what is not happening in the room at
the
moment.
No, totally. I've been thrown into a bit of a tailspin there, because that's pretty much all I've got.
I think Jane should be Wonder Woman.
I think Jane should be Wonder Woman as well, actually.
She's got the right attitude for it.
She has got the right attitude. She's got the lasso of truth.
She does. She also has that. And an invisible aeroplane.
She's always using that on us. She has got an invisible aeroplane. That's correct. She's tall. She will need to dye her hair.
You're a bit obsessed with this hair dyeing thing.
Well, it's important to me that she has the correct coloured hair.
Black hair.
Yeah.
But also she can... I know this is a bit of a throwback to the TV series, and maybe that's not the best thing, but she can spin around without becoming nauseous.
She can, that's true. And she looks very nice in calf-length boots.
Does she? I've never seen her in calf-length boots.
I don't know, I'm just imagining she probably does.
I think you should be the next Batman.
Definitely. I think Batman of Tomorrow Gone to Seed is the series.
Gone to Seed.
And it's going to be a series about how Batman really is lost since Dick's taken over. It's going to be about Bruce Wayne, and Dick's taken over, as Batman, and Bruce has let himself go a bit.
Can you do a Gotham accent?
Yeah, I can do a Gotham accent.
Go on.
I'm Batman, and I've gone to see. How's that?
Is that how they all talk in Gotham?
I don't know. I was just trying to invoke.
That
a bit
wasn't
of...
just your Gotham accent. That was also specifically your Bruce Wayne voice.
That's right.
So how was it?
I'm gonna order me another pizza because I no longer care about my physique.
Hmm. What would the other Pennyworth's from England?
That's right.
So
yeah.
He wouldn't. He's got a plum in his mouth.
I said, I'm not going to do his accent because I won't be playing him.
No. And.
Well, I will. I'll be playing him for a sucker.
And is Gordon. Gordon's from. Came to from, Gotham, didn't he?
That's right, he did.
He's not from.
He did,
Gotham.
But he came to Gotham in a train, whereas Bruce Wayne returned to Gotham in a plane. Did you see what happened there in Miller's Batman Year One? Where Wayne returns to Gotham in a jet because he's this ethereal character,
yeah,
who's all up in the air and that,
yeah.
But Jim Gordon arrived in Gotham on a train because he's grounded.
He is grounded. He's grounded.
Or maybe because Bruce Wayne's a millionaire. And
no, I think Miller was actually
I think
using
he was
a metaphor. Yeah, yeah, I think he was. Yeah,
yeah, Jane.
Yeah.
As being, you know, normal and realistic.
Look, Jane,
not every metaphor is about Jesus,
Jane,
all right?
Jane, it's the only book where I've ever picked up the metaphor, ever.
Metaphor.
Metaphor, yeah. He's just a caricature.
Is Dick from Gotham?
Well, I'm not sure where he's from, because obviously his parents died in Gotham, didn't they? The Flying Graces.
That's good enough, I suppose. Well, isn't it? Tim Drake's definitely from Gotham, isn't he?
He is. And he's incredibly nosy.
So I'll be Damian Tim Drake. Wings, I'll see if I can if I can catch the Gotham accent from you. So say something.
Hey there, Tim. Bring me a Toblerone.
It's Bill Cosby.
I really hope it isn't.
I want a Toblerone.
Because I've let myself go. Okay, Mr. Wayne. I'm gonna go do that, man.
That sounds dodgy.
What was
Tim, you're in your late teens, really? Your ball should have dropped by now.
I can't do it.
I can't
do voices like you can do voices. You're like I was going to say ventriloquist, and that isn't what I meant. A master of disguise.
I am, aren't I? I should have been a spy. If only I'd gone to Oxford or Cambridge, I'd almost certainly be a spy by now.
How would you talk if you'd been to Oxford or Cambridge?
Ha 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 ha!
Except that by now you'd be doing Mockney and pretending to be one of the normal people.
Actually,
so you'd end up sounding like
actually,
you do.
Exactly. Anyway, I think we covered that beautifully.
I think we did.
Given that just at the point Jane bailed out of the room, I was ready to turn to her and go,
oh,
you're
okay.
Going to do your spotlight now.
Because is that it? For the only story we got is Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I hadn't read anything else.
Do you guys
of
remind me of? It's reminding me of like a mum leaving some kids in the room while she goes to do something else, and it's all quite normal. And as I was walking back to the door, I just heard shouting.
Yeah.
And then I came in, you were actually quiet when I came in,
yeah,
and I was somebody needs to be told off.
What you've missed is 5 minutes of panicked filling.
Oh no, I knew exactly what I was saying. I'm quite comfortable. I was quite comfortable with, because the whole point is. We couldn't possibly have had that conversation with Jane in the room. So,
I have got real concerns about my accent. I might have to listen back to that one. I'm not entirely comfortable with it. It sounded awfully like a racially stereotyped accent.
Oh, okay, Mr. Bruce.
Okay, maybe not. I don't know.
Mr. Wayne? I don't know. He's got a Gotham accent, but his voice is breaking.
Tim Drake.
Yeah.
No, what I was suggesting was that Tim Drake's voice will have broken by now.
Really?
But he's not, yeah.
But he always looks so young.
He's in his late teens. He's got to be 17 or 18.
He might be a late developer.
No, he's really not. He's quite well
My
developed.
Voice didn't break till a bit later.
All I'm saying is he's a very accomplished young man, and I don't think he is a late developer. He's pretty emotionally mature for a man of his age.
Physically,
especially given, you know, the turbulence his life's been through. He's lost both parents, you know.
Physically,
not mentally.
Yeah, physically, he's exceptionally well developed. He is Red Robin.
Okay.
You love him so much.
I really admire Tim Wayne. I think he's been through a lot. I think he's remained a strong character. I think there's a lesson for all of us to learn from the example Tim Tim Wayne leaves for all of us.
Is he Tim Wayne now?
Yeah,
has he changed his name?
He's been adopted.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm just upset that I can't do voices now.
Yeah. We can do that one pretty well.
The one I'm doing now?
Yeah, yeah. I like
that. That's my voice.
I like that one the most.
Oh, okay, good.
Is it my turn?
I call it your angry Greek dude voice.
My angry Greek dude voice. Yeah. I am so pissed off at you right
now. Stop breaking
plates. Oh my god,
you're
giving him lust eyes.
He is.
That was really like, I'm going to punish you, you bad boy.
Jamie. Generally being angry makes you feel a bit sexy.
Can you rescue us, please?
Yes, it's my turn to spotlight. I've seemed to have picked up a little bit of a, well, a theme, as in, this week I'm going to talk about a comic that a film was based on as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I did that with
History of Violence.
Yeah,
this which weekend, wasn't about violins.
No,
it wasn't History of Violins.
It's about cellos. Who would have thought?
Yeah, yeah.
Spoiler. I'm going to talk about Ghost World by Daniel Clowes, who is a drawther. But yeah. I was just looking through. I got this. Oh, my adorable younger brother. Got me this as a late Christmas present. Mm. I'm sorry, it was very sweet of him, because it's not an easy comic to get hold of, as he found out.
So. You two are being so Mediterranean with your hands today, I'm loving it.
I am partially.
But you are partially Mediterranean, aren't you? James has no excuse. But he is a master of disguise, and can adopt cultures and
my mum's from Surrey, accents. Does that count?
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't, usually at the beginning, at the front of a comic, you have the artist and the writer, and it says, you know, art and written by... Daniel Clowes, I'd say. It says designed by Daniel Clowes. I don't know, I really like that he designed this comic.
I guess he designed the book as well, did he? I think he probably did all of the everything.
I think he
there's
pretty
loads
much
of colour
did everything,
different colour choices and stuff.
I don't know if I can, I'm naturally suspicious of designer types.
Oh.
Why is that, James? Why are you so racist?
Just experience of the ones I've met.
Were any of your relatives massacred by designers when you were younger?
One of my distant relatives was attacked by a designer with an HB pencil.
Was it Lawrence Rowan Bowen?
It was. I was thinking, yes. I was more subtly teasing a listener, really. It really got out of hand. Now we should probably listen to Jane talking about her book.
By the way, I wasn't deliberately trying to sabotage your reviews last week. Somebody suggested that I was, and I didn't do it on purpose.
Sabotage?
Someone tweeted that.
No, but ironically, we're doing a really good job of doing that, Jane.
We don't do it on purpose.
No, that's true.
Go on, Jane, sorry.
That's okay. I was just double checking the names. It follows two teenage girls, they're 18, Enid and Becky. I think that's right.
Scarlet and Thora.
Yes.
Mm hmm.
And they left high school, and they're trying to decide what they're going to do next. Mm-hmm. They've got such a teenage boy relationship. It's really bizarre. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing I picked up. I think you pick up a little bit from the film, but from this book it came across even more. Their attitude towards everything is very teenage, but it's the only thing I've seen really in comics in boys.
All right.
So,
but were girls like that? Are girls like that? Because you're a window into girls.
No, girls definitely like that. Probably not as extreme as they are. Mm. But when you've got a close female friend like that, and you've grown up with them, and you've experienced, especially in your teens, you experience obviously lots of new things. They do have a very open, quite crass conversations about a lot of things.
Do you mean it's because are they quite rude with each other? Is that what you mean when you say they're like a teenage boy?
Not rude. Yeah. Just a bit more open about stuff like that.
They're quite small town American and like not they're bored and a bit angry, aren't they? But they've not really got anything to be angry about, so they are a bit stroppy with each other, moody.
They bitch about everything, which is hilarious. They speculate about everyone, which is even more fun. They are obviously very bored, but they create all these things to make themselves to distract themselves from the fact that they're actually grown up now and they need to start thinking about what they're going to do next. I believe it was an 8-part issue when it came out.
I don't know, because I'm not sure if he was doing 8-Ball, a comic called 8-Ball for ages, which had loads of different stories in it and stuff. It was like an anthology book, so I can't really remember how it came out, but it would have been an episode. It would have come out over a period of time.
I think it was 8 issues. They are in this small town. They've left school. Mm. They kind of know everyone. Everyone kind of knows them. Mm. It's all about them growing. Well, eventually realizing they have to grow up. Enid's very, very fickle. Very hipsterish.
Is she the one with the glasses?
Yes. She has a different theme every day. She goes through phases so quickly. When one minute she likes something, next which doesn't, which is a very teenage girl.
She's a real hipster as well.
Yeah, she is very much hipster. But I think she realises she is, and I think she also realises it's something she has to grow out of.
Mm.
The story is all about their relationship. It's about they are obviously the main characters, and the different things they're experiencing while they try and figure out what they're going to do. I realised actually before I started this review, I was like, what am I actually going to say about it? It's not a book about nothing. Lots of things happen.
It is quite weird because they're just kind of. It's about them over the summer just killing time, isn't it? And so there isn't really. There are characters that come into it that they. that recur and that they engage with. But really, it's about the fact that nothing's really going on with their lives. So it's sort of...
Does it kind of take on the sort of coming-of-age kind of...
Mm.
Yeah. It's really good. I mean, like, when they're talking about them losing their virginity, Enid was talking to another one of their friends and was talking about how she lost her virginity. So it's very detailed and it's very realistic experience, but it's got a real twisted... sort of girly humour behind it as well, which I really liked. It is just random things like they go to a diner and, you know, they're taking the mick out of the waiter who doesn't seem to realise. Like in the film, the main theme of the film is Steve Buscemi is a Lonely Hearts kind of guy and puts an advert out in the paper and they phone him up as a prank and then Enid becomes friends with him and that's it. That is literally a page in here. Yeah. And that was the thing that surprised me. I really thought that was going to be the main theme of the book as well. Mm. But it wasn't. It was just so much more that happens. But again, I can see why they had to do that with the film because there was nothing else going on. They had this main story.
It would have been
story.
Quite meandering.
Yeah.
which
you can see would not work in a film but works really well in this comic. Ghost World, actually watching the DVD extras, Daniel Klaus is on there and he talks about Ghost World and where it came from, and it's in his town where he saw this graffiti popping up everywhere, and in the book it comes up as to introduce the new chapter, it comes up at the top, and in some scenes you see Ghost World spray painted on things. It's just like this weird like tagging thing and
like on that garage.
Yes, yeah.
I'd be surprised if it isn't a little bit of a meditation on an area or the sorts of places that he's lived in as well, because it's kind of got that feeling that it's got that people watching feeling to it, hasn't it? But does it, as a lady who reads comics, does it pass the, is he, because it's a guy essentially exploring it's a guy essentially exploring female relationships, like young teenage female relationships, and he's neither he's neither female or a teenager.
No.
So
I think he's done quite well. I mean, being a girl, my teenage relationships were not quite as extreme or as open as they are in this book, but I think there's probably a little bit of a male element in there, but he's not far off how a close female relationship works.
It gets quite weird later on, doesn't it? Does Enid, without going into too much detail, one of them starts kind of... It becomes apparent that one of them is going to have... is going to find it easier to move on from...
It would seem on the... I think outwardly it seems like one of them is more... It seems like they're going to get better by moving on. They're being very
equipped for the outside world.
Yeah, it's nonchalant about something that might happen in their lives, whereas the other one is a bit sort of gutted. And also, they seem very open, but they do have little secrets from each other. And it's when they sort of blurt out something completely out of context, and the other one's like, well, hang on, you haven't told me about that. You know, that's a major thing. And it's almost like, that is something that's going to be a life-defining thing, a life-changing thing, which means they're going to be away from the other person.
Yeah.
That they're almost too scared or don't want to hurt them or they don't want to face up to the fact that's going to happen. So in terms of going through that period of your life, I thought it was quite accurate. Mm. Whether or not you acted like that, you had those feelings. Yeah. Probably not as extreme as these girls, but it was definitely something that you experienced. I really enjoyed it. I know I can't really say that much detail about it because there aren't really themes. I think as a monthly, it must have been quite good because they're quite contained stories. You find out all the different things that happen to them. Like Daniel Clowes actually sort of has a bit of a cameo in this. Enid goes is going to see a cartoonist.
All right.
And then she starts talking about cartoonists and talking about him a bit, which is, I sort of made me chuckle. The art is really interesting. I think that is probably the focal of the comic rather than the actual stories and the dialogue itself. Mm. The way he draws people, it's a black, white and green comic book. And his faces are excellent. They just change, his style just changes from person to person. So Enid and Becky have actually got quite comic-y faces, whereas some of the others have got quite real life-drawn faces, and some of them got exaggerated faces. And it's all these quirky characters, which is bringing out bits of their personality onto the page, so you can visually see what kind of person they would be before reading it. And then while you're reading it, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I thought he was going to be like that. So that sort of that style really, really appealed to me. I thought that was excellent. It was odd to read a black, white and green comic.
Yeah, it's striking, just really interestingly designed. I like it.
It was brilliant.
Salmon pink inside.
Yeah,
I like that as well.
That was a choice.
I haven't read this in years actually, but I do really like his art. It is very clean.
Yeah.
His character, what can sometimes be a little bit difficult with him is his characters aren't generally very nice. You know, because it is quite a frank sort of look at the people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, though, the funny thing is that the style of storytelling that's like that is quite similar to who's the guy who, there's like a few films that are kind of done in that style now. The guy who did the thing about that Bill Murray was in, where he's on the Steve Zissou, that guy, the guy who did the Steve Zissou film and the Royal Tannenbaums and stuff like that, where there's kind of a hypnotic
Wes Anderson.
But there's sort of a quite hypnotic thing where the characters are put in front of you and they do things, but it's like there's not a definitive plot, really. Things
like
just kind of happen.
But
I do, but they're quite weird, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, Weird Town's a bit...
They make you feel really unsettled, and they're always, really sort of dysfunctional people, aren't they?
It's like people are paraded in front of... The characters are paraded in front of the camera, and they kind of sometimes do something, or sometimes they just stare into space, and then they parade off. But I do like them, yeah. But it kind of feels like that.
Yeah.
And that sort of storytelling is quite kind of accepted now. And there's films like the one about the really geeky guy who... I'm not doing very
Napoleon
well
with Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite and things like that. That kind of... halfway hipster, halfway nerd culture type thing has become quite acceptable now.
Yeah.
Whereas when that came out and when the film Ghost World came out, it was still quite unusual.
It's quite skill. Yeah. I remember the first time I watched Ghost World, I was just like, I just thought it was really good. It was one of those films you'd always see was on and then you couldn't stay up late enough or you didn't quite set the timer to record it and stuff like that, so it was interesting. It has given me a bit of a food for thought, because this and also History of Violence, I did not know were based on graphic novels.
Right, okay,
they are slightly different to the graphic novels, as they change things around, but it has just made me realise how much it does... They have more of a grounding in films to base stories on, which, you know, you see the big... Marvel and DC superhero films come out, you know that's a comic book one, but the more indie, more subtle, more human stories, you don't register it. You think, oh, it's based on a book perhaps, or it's adapted from a book, but you don't really think actually that was from a graphic novel. So reading this and some of the scenes that are actually in the film, they're just perfect, and the way that the Scarlett Johansson and Thor Birch were cast in the film as well, excellent. They were perfectly casted. Reading this and then thinking about the film, like, actually they did really well. I think Daniel Clowes had some input onto the film, which I think helps. And that's another sort of point I was going to make as well, where I think with creators having an input on the film when it comes to, okay, they've got to adapt it to go into a film, it's going to be different, it's not going to be exactly what they want, it's not going to be the original form that it came in, but I think it has such a difference on the how the film will come out,
because
they know what's going to work and what isn't going to work, and they've got the insight into this is how I visualised it, and they, I'm sure some creators might have in the back of their mind, if it became a film, what would it look like?
Who they're basing characters on, or stuff like that.
And, you know, doing it without actually writing the comic as the storyboard, which I really like. I know. I
can't imagine any comic book creators would just write a storyboard rather than a comic.
Yeah.
That seems a bit far-fetched.
The very thought of
it. You look outraged.
Oh,
well, you looked outraged, now you just look snotty.
Did you like my passive-aggressive I did there?
What did you do?
My passive-aggression about not doing a storyboard.
Oh!
I've been working on being passive-aggressive.
Oh, so basically you did quite... You're working on being passive-aggressive.
Yeah, I'm being to work like, that hard.
I'm being... Oh.
That was a bit
I'm being like Crichton, where I'm learning new emotions. I'm breaking my programming.
You're breaking really. Your programming.
Yeah, I'm not really.
And what you've chosen as your first outing into
passive
aggressiveness.
I heard people do it. It's a popular thing.
Yeah, they do. It is common, yeah. I liked how you were being quite subtle about that, and then James basically solidified the joke by saying, oh, no one would ever do a storyboard thing. I like how we riff off each other. It's good.
Yeah. I feel there's a bit of a rambly spotlight, and I think reading it, I read it on Wednesday night, and was just engrossed in it. I was actually had series 2 of Big Love on in the background, which I really enjoy.
I do that too. I put a DVD on when I read.
I like Big Love, and I was making sure that I was definitely separating polygamy from this book, so that was good.
You should definitely
don't really mix the two. And I read it, and I really enjoyed it. But when I was thinking about it before the spotlight, I was like, what am I actually going to say about it? It's a series of events that happens to two girls. Nothing particularly significant. The theme is their relationship and how they interact with different people and how they're growing up. There is no actual main story theme in it. And I just suddenly thought, oh no, I should prepare this a bit better.
Is there a battle?
No, you did.
No, only internally.
There are internal battles. Yeah. That was just childish.
And nobody said Meg.
How many would you give it?
I would give it... 73.
Yeah, good.
That seems like a fair, you're not overdoing it, but out of what? Just 73.
Okay. Can I just say, Jane's arbitrary scoring system bears no... Has no relation to your
There's a whole different way to crack the code for me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So when you're... I don't like to think about you dying, actually...
Aww.
So I'm not going to even imagine.
They're perfectly comfortable with me, though, aren't you?
That is not what I said out loud.
Thank you.
That was good, and you said a whole lot.
Yeah,
that was good.
It's on. If you want to pick it up, it's my brother did have a bit of a hard time tracking.
It's available from James' brother.
He's really good. Oh, bless him so much. He's so sweet.
Did he try Amazon?
Yeah, it was out of stock from a lot of places.
You can type in the ISBN.
He tried a couple of places. They were out of stock, so it's not necessarily finding where you can see the name. It was where he could find the stock.
Don't patronise me.
I'm not, because I felt really sorry for him, because he boring story. He ordered it said there's going to be stock, and I should have got this.
God, I so completely want to punch you in the junk right now, James. Passive aggressive.
Just aggressive.
Hello.
No, he was. It said it was in stock, and I was supposed to get it before Christmas. And there was something else he ordered me that wasn't in stock, and that came before this did. So, bless him. He was really panicking about me not getting my Christmas presents. But it's nice to get presents a month after Christmas.
No, because nobody expects it.
Yeah, it was actually
well,
a package.
Amy's
that had
birthday
my...
is a little bit after Christmas, so isn't far after Christmas.
You're right.
So she always does.
I just had a package with my name in it in really big letters.
That was like flesh-rendingly dull.
Just ignore him.
I warned
Jane.
You. It came with a public warning.
I've actually scraped a layer of skin off my face.
Okay. It's available on Jonathan Cape Comic Books.
It's a proper publisher.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan Cape.
And
not
on,
a comic publisher.
Yeah. One thing I really liked was it actually has the price in pounds on the back, even though it's an American.
What a peculiar
book.
Thing to
well,
get excited about.
Probably because it's
about.
An English version.
Yeah, but I liked that.
You're an English
version.
Did he design that?
yes.
And you designed the price and the barcode.
Yeah.
You were both talking over it when I said that you're an English virgin to you.
Nick, I've got a baby.
So?
Okay.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything. Your wife carried the baby. It's not necessarily yours.
That's true.
God.
Right.
Did Scarlett actually say daddy?
I've heard no...
Because I have been told that she might be a bit young for that.
No. At her age, they make sounds that sound like words, but they don't. I think you have to wait till they're over one before they actually...
She and your wife say are already words talking about you behind your back.
She said... she made a noise that sounded like dad.
Hmm.
Sorry, just very quickly. On the back of this comic, it has got quotes from people...
Real people.
Very similar to on the back of Particle Fiction. Oh. There is one I'd like James to read out there, because it's quite an unusual one to find on the back of a comic.
Come on, James, quickly.
Sorry. Le plus bel album de l'année.
Was it in French?
By Jade. Yes, there was a French.
Who's Jade?
French praise on the back, which I thought was very sweet. I like that.
Le plus bel album de l'année.
La piscine.
Oui, les boulangeries.
It's over there. Next to the potato shop.
One thing that did happen to me this week, I had deja vu that lasted for most of an afternoon. It actually creeped me out.
You know what deja vu is, don't you?
It's the ghosts of your future coming back to haunt you.
Yeah. No, it's a lack of oxygen to your brain, so it takes a couple of seconds for your brain to register something after you've seen it, so you think you've seen it twice.
Oh, but it was stuff Dr. I remembered. Jane. It was stuff I remembered thinking about a month ago. I'm sure it was. I think I was having a window into the past.
It can also be associated with familiarity, and then you have, again, your brain registering it a second time.
I think for a second my brain was falling in tune with my brain from an alternate dimension where I'd had the conversation earlier.
Which I did yesterday to one of your colleagues.
What? Should we have this conversation?
No, I recognised him, but didn't know why I recognised him. And one of your colleagues who sometimes goes to Goblets, and he really looks like my friend's older brother, Andy, and I thought it was Andy.
Hmm.
And I wasn't just sort of looking. I was really screwing my face up at him, and then he was like backing off. I went, "You're right." And I was like, and then my brain registered who he was. I went, "Hiya!" And then
that's the point where he actually started running.
That's not really the same as deja. It was the deja vu that happened.
No, but it was again my brain not registering. Hmm. My brain registering something, but me not registering something. So yeah,
the human brain is both interesting and crushingly
boring. Yeah,
that wasn't boring. I'm just saying it can be both.
It was.
James,
hi.
What are you doing in the week?
I'm having some friends over Saturday night, so they can coo over my floorboards.
Mm. Coo, you and did your this baby.
Yeah, whatever. Coo, you did these floorboards all by yourself, and that. Ooh, that is impressive. They will say.
Oh, Keisha.
Oh, hello. And they will have chili.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, Nicholas said, for a special treat, we can go in the garden and pick up dog poo.
Cool. I need to do that at some point in the weekend as well. Yeah. This weekend, I am going to go around to a friend's house and eat chili.
Ooh.
And I'm going to stand around with my hand on my hip, but in a masculine way, because I realise the second I start, I've got to work out how to do it in a masculine way. Like that. Stand around with a hand on my hip and ask them curt but pointed questions about how they've done some DIY in their house. And possibly go, yeah, you should have gone with the grain, not across the grain. What tool did you use? And they'll say, I mean, you'll maybe have a suggestion.
A scraper.
What tool did you use? A scraper. And I'll say, you see, didn't really need to buy a special piece of kit. Could have just used the
beveled duck wedge.
The bit at the back of the hammer. Just use that. Let's do everything. Front of the hammer to bang stuff in. Yeah. Back of the hammer to scrape stuff.
That's true.
You don't need a special scraper. Maybe you use a cheese grater.
Your blokey bloke voice.
Yeah, I'm good at it. I'm really good at it.
Yeah. Also, talk to them about, when you're at these sort of functions, you should talk to them about their favoured roads.
The favourite roads, I could do that.
Yeah, I'm going over there and you want to take that road, the A98.
Oh, we're not going to do the dinner party tests, are we?
Oh, I'm going to be slagging off people of different ethnicities to me all evening.
I was going to slag off everybody.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's cover all an equal opportunity.
So what sort of thing, what we should basically... so we'll get there. Yeah. Oh, no, you know, it's a good time to try out my male passive aggressiveness as well, which is slightly different from female. We'll get there because my wife drives. We might drive. And so,
what road are you going to take?
This is exactly what I'll do. Is when we get there, you'll say, or they will say,
"What road did you take?"
And I'll say, "Well, you see, it's funny that because I said we should have gone up the avenue because you know there's work, being done on that road.
Works.
Yeah, so we should have gone up the avenue, cut back across, gone that way. Yeah. But you know, the wife,
Don't listen.
So we came the normal way because she was like, it's obvious, that's the way. Yeah. And I told her about the works, but she acted like I hadn't because maybe I'd forgotten. And we were stuck in traffic for fucking 5 minutes.
It's unfucking
unbelievable. 5 minutes longer.
Mate.
Unbelievable.
Don't fucking listen.
But, you know, I mean, I love her. And she's just a bit of a cloth ear.
Well, you got her, wouldn't you?
And then maybe one of the dinner party guests might go, well, where's your driver's licence?
And I'll say, I didn't need one, did I? All the birds I know, they drive.
Not a manly pursuit, is it?
Was that passive aggressive?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm going to pretend I don't find the little baby adorable as well.
Okay.
I think that's going to work quite
well. I don't
think
good luck with that, mate.
Because she is friggin' adorable.
Yeah, you'll crack. It won't work.
Little she'll smile at you. She'll go, and you go,
I know what will happen. I'll walk in. We'll talk about the floor. We'll try and string a conversation together about the floor. You'll have to admit that it was mostly your mate telling you what to do and you didn't really make
it. No, it was mostly my mate doing it.
Nick will start rubbing you on the arm.
We'll start talking about exactly what herbs are used in the chili or something like that.
I ain't putting none of my...
That's basically what will happen, and we'll end up talking about how cute your little girl, and I'll try and monopolise the baby and not let my wife or Jane or anyone else get anywhere.
And then we'll try and watch a movie, and I'll try and yab it the whole way through it and ruin the whole experience.
Are we trying to watch a film? Yay! We can have a competition again so you can stay awake.
Slumber party.
I won last time.
It's usually me and Jane that would the white ladies.
We left early. I would have been
Nick
up for longer.
Nick will do us all because Nick's like a vampire.
So we would have drawn.
So essentially,
I'll do you all.
Yeah, we're all coming around mine on Saturday, aren't we? Yeah. You can come too, listener, if you want.
And then what's happening next week is Amy's.
Don't forget about the roadworks, though, listener.
No, remember the roadworks. Don't. Oh yeah, you don't want to go up. You don't want to go up Howard Road.
Don't listen to her.
Don't matter what she says. And your fucking what's it? The thing in the car. Your iTunes news. That's going to try and tell you. Don't listen to it. Go the other way. Yeah.
Put the man's voice on.
Do you mean the travel report?
No, the
sat-nav.
Oh, right.
The dongle.
You said dongle.
I just couldn't remember what it was.
But he dongle, said so.
I don't know.
Don't people talk about dongles now in relation to IT?
Next week, Amy is on half term, so she is going to go and stay with her parents, and I already know exactly what's going to happen for the couple of hours, maybe even couple of days, immediately before her going away. I'll be really excited about having the place to myself.
Yeah.
And then within about... Basically, I'll get home, she won't be here, and within 5 minutes, I will be, like, eating 5-week-old bits of bread out of the fridge. Yeah. And, like, wondering why there isn't anything to drink in the house because I've forgotten how to use the tap. Yeah, exactly. Just sitting in the room, masturbating and crying, in that order.
Yeah.
Or sometimes in the other order to mix it up.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting.
Well, makes it feel like someone else is doing it, then, doesn't it?
Yeah. No. What? Anyway, Jane, what are you going to be doing? Presumably not what I just said.
No. Okay. I, too, shall be dining at James's.
You already done that today.
Yes. I know. Bitch.
You are such a bitch.
Totally.
I'm cooking for my partner on Friday night.
Poor sod.
What are you cooking him, Jane?
Spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, that's your favourite meal.
Well, you know you're going to have two...
Isn't it?
Nick, I eat anything. I don't think I've got a favourite meal.
I remember you were going to visit your mum and she
it's
was
the favourite thing my mum makes me.
Are you sure you're going to do that? Because that means you're going to have two minced-based meals in a row.
That's right.
That will be the only red meat
I've
had this week.
We had that question.
No, it's not.
But you'll make a good spaghetti bolognese because you've got a bit of Mediterranean in it. No, I can't even... I can't even finish that sentence.
What's no, that'll be good. Gabarigool.
What's the gabarigool? You'll be really good. Yeah. You have to throw stuff around the kitchen.
Okay. Like pasta?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Not plates, though. Pasta la vista. I don't think I have enough plates to throw around. Yeah, I'll be trying not to buy Easter eggs. Easter eggs are a pound. That's not good. Everywhere.
Oh, wow.
I know. Nom. Like, quite nice size Easter eggs.
Big ones
as well.
With thick chocolate.
And I think they've got stuff in. Other chocolate inside. Oh,
they're trying to kickstart the economy by making everybody obese. Is that what's
happening?
I've already
had the mini egg attacks on Monday.
Ross, stop it. Please don't talk about chocolate.
So I'll be trying not to eat Easter eggs.
Oh, I think my wife quite liked the cream egg. Thank you, James.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you, listener, for listening.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we'll go now. Thank you, listener. You're brilliant.
Thank you.
We like you. You make us smile.
Let me know if you're coming, though, because I need to put some extra chilli on.
Oh, yeah. And,
what he said.
Yeah.
And we can bring around some plates and stuff if you need them.
Yeah, totally.
Foldable chairs.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Out of all the people in the band, the drummer does the hardest work, don't they? It looks quite energetic.
I think that's because
bassist the least.
They are like chimpanzees.
Or no, maybe the keyboard player does. It depends.
One of the there's a band called Those Dancing Days, which is all girls, and the drummer in that band is amazing. Yeah. She's just mental. And Matt and Kim, the drummer in that band, is really mental, and she's
no Mel and Kim.
No, Matt and Kim. Matt and Kim. You did it to me.
Stop being so angry.
You confused me.
Stop being so angry.
I'm not angry. Why don't you all just leave me alone?
We don't like you. Because we don't like you.
He doesn't like you. I don't like you either.
We're wanted bins. I've got the death sentence on 5 planets and 3 supermarkets.
Where did that come from? Are you ill?
And if you use this on the outtakes, I will cut your genitals off and sew them into your mouth.
I might use that last bit.
Okay.
You threatened my genitals with your mouth.
I did threaten.
You're going to cut my genitals off and stitch them into your mouth.
Into my mouth. My mic sounds nice. Check one.
I hope I sound as nice as James.
No, it's my mic sounds nice. Check two. And then we could do like a proper salt and pepper routine.
What? Who?
Salt and pep.
I'm joking.
Oh. Doop 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 doop. And Cinderella. Spinderella.
Spinderella. Check it out one time.
Shall we listen?
Ooh.